Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Thanks for joining us for this PCI podcast, Journeying Forward with Young People. In this episode, I'll be talking to some youth workers about their observations of young people coming out of this pandemic and how they think we can support them moving forward. I'm Graeme Thompson, Youth Development Officer with PCI, and I'm delighted to welcome my guests, Catherine Dixon, who's a programme worker at Big House, Ashley Parks, who's youth, children and family worker at First Lisburn Presbyterian, and Lindsay Shields, who's youth leader at Hillsborough Presbyterian and is GB District Commissioner. Folks, you're all very welcome. Thanks for joining us. Let's start by hearing a little bit about your life and your experiences. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to realise that COVID has impacted us all, I think, in ways that maybe we haven't fully realised. I'm not just talking about the amount of Netflix we're all watching. Tell us a little bit about your perspective, how life has been for you. We'll start with you, Catherine.
Thanks, Graeme. So I think when we look at the last year, I don't know about you, but words are really difficult to explain it. And I think, like me, there must be so many people who are still processing what is and still is happening. And I think when I look back on the last year, the one word that I can use is that it has been extraordinary, an extraordinary year, time full of upheaval, getting used to Zoom. We all love our Zoom calls, but it has been a long drawn out trauma full of grief and loss. And for me, definitely, to do with all of our work in the Big House, it has felt shaken. We have all felt shaken. Yet there's also this feeling of hopefulness and what is still to come as we inch back to face-to-face normality and face-to-face youth work. And we can see that there's been lots of perseverance and resilience and reminders that Jesus is with us in the storm and ever present.
Lindsay, what about you?
Hi, I'm Lindsay, and as Graeme said, I'm from Hillsborough Congregation. And when COVID hit last year, it was a bit of a shock to my system because I usually would be out at something or other every night of the week. So it has really been a time for extreme slowing down when it comes to my life. But thankfully, I think I've adapted quite well. And as Catherine's mentioned, with things like Zoom, being able to connect with people has become a lot easier.
Ashley, this year's seen a lot of changes for you too, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a very different year. It's been a bit of a slog at times. Lots of encouragements, but lots of disappointments as well. I just started at First Lisburn in March 2020. And then I went off on paternity leave for 2 weeks and came back into our first lockdown. So I had all these hopes and plans for youth ministry at First Lisburn. But whenever I came back from paternity leave, it was very different to how I had expected and how I had hoped it might be. But then on the other side of that, I suppose the lockdown has given us as a family great opportunity to be together with our new daughter, Stella. So yeah, very mixed past year or so for us.
Thanks all for sharing a wee bit of that, because I think we need to recognise ourselves, our own journey, our own situation, as we think about how we can best reach out to young people and support them. We think about our own needs. And before we start to talk about that, and I invite you to share your wisdom and experience, I think it's really important at this point to hear from some young people. It was a real joy recently to speak with Rachel, Evan and Holly, three young people who wanted to share their experiences over the past year. I asked them how they were feeling about life at the minute, their thoughts about how we can help them moving forward. But I started by asking them how living through this pandemic has impacted them.
Well, I guess the main thing would be I've missed out on the majority of like my sixth form experience, which I like, this sounds really bad, but half of the reason I came back to school after GCSE is because I wanted to be in sixth form. I didn't really care about the A-levels. I wanted to like have formal leavers, all the fun stuff that came with it. My formal got cancelled last week officially, so that sucks. I feel like I've missed out on being able to grow up a wee bit in the past couple of years because I haven't been able to like go out and do stuff that normally I would be able to do.
I was on the rugby team in school, and we missed a lot of our school's cup competition, medallion shield competition. All that was absolutely thrown out the window. And so you lose that connection with people, you know.
Yeah, it's just really difficult because I couldn't stop watching the news because things were constantly changing. And I think, you know, things were happening in England and then I was going, well, is that going to happen here? What's going on? I think it was just a lot of mixed communication and I really struggled with that.
I guess also the main thing that has changed about our lives is like mental health. It's been such a big thing. And I know so many people whose mental health has been like really badly affected, myself included. I think we're going to be seeing the repercussions of that for like a long time in the future, unfortunately.
We have had tests from September and I feel like we've had a year of basically exams. Even though they might not be in an exam hall, we have been sort of told that everything counts. And I think that's something that's been really damaging to my mental health because I've just been faced with this constant pressure. And I think for people who think that we're getting off light, I don't really think that's the case at all.
I think in myself, I'm not going to be as sociable right from the very beginning as I was at the start. I think there'll always be that bit of hesitancy in the beginning anyway, coming out of such a dangerous pandemic.
I was a very extroverted person before all this happened, and now I think I'm a lot more introverted.
I think a lot of us are worried about going to uni and like not really knowing how to talk to people because we've stuck with the same group for the past like 2 years when usually we'd be like be able to like make more friends and stuff.
I've sort of got used to hand sanitizing and nearly becoming so like just so conscious of it. And I think that's something that's going to be a generational thing with people my age, because we're constantly being told to hand sanitize. And I don't think that'll ever go away now.
It's changed a lot about my life. And I think I was happy for the time. It allowed me to deepen my connection with God, actually, having time to fill my time with God, to grow that connection. It was without distraction of the rest of the world, just me, my family, and our house. No time for anything else. So I took comfort in that, because whenever you can't go and meet with other people, who better to spend your time with than God?
Yeah, so how do I feel about life right now? I guess I am a lot more positive because like the end is in sight. Like I can see, like I'm so looking forward to summer. I cannot wait for summer, and like the good weather at the minute has just like increased that excitement by 100 times.
I'd like to say I'm a very optimistic person. I do have hope that hopefully our situation will improve, hopefully with vaccinations coming out. We didn't have that last year, so hopefully that should be a good help in the coming year. But I think in my mind there's that wee corner of pessimism that's like, could it really change in a year? We'd hoped it would last time.
So in general, like, I am optimistic because finally we're getting out of this. And I've learned a lot of stuff over the past year that I can take with me into my future life, like about God, how he's just always here. Like, so much has changed in the past year, but God has been like the one constant in my life. And I know, like, going forward, my faith is like going to be really so much stronger because of that as well.
Whenever this all kicked off in March, I was 14 and I'm turning 16 soon and I'm still in a lockdown. So whenever you think about it like that, that's a huge portion of my life. And I think whenever people sort of say, oh, school days are supposed to be the best days of your life, and I've just been sitting at home for ages, you know, I think that's really challenging. And at the end of the day, it's hard enough being a teenager anyway, let alone during a pandemic. So I think that there just needs to be a bit of acknowledgement that it's just been very tough.
Just being aware that young people have had it quite tough this past year, and our mental health is declining. And just like being aware of like some of the issues that might come because of that, and just being able to like support young people. So I think the main thing would be like when restrictions allow it to like open up youth clubs and like let us all get together, like within, like be safe at the same time. But like I know like before Christmas and stuff, there was like some leeway to like have different groups and stuff. But I mean, my church and like other churches didn't do that. But I think that's so crucial because there comes a point where it's like, we can't live like this forever. And I understand that we need to be safe, we need to follow protocols, but at the same time, like, you can't keep us locked up forever. And we want to, like, get out there. We want to, like, see each other. We want to, like, meet together and, like, worship. I miss worship so much, like, just having a wee worship session.
I think that that is a very important thing going forward, because people maybe have gone a year without having proper deep communication with people in an environment where they're safe in their faith and safe within their own age.
I think although I'm going to be so delighted to go back to normal, I think after a year of basically being locked up in my own home, I think it's going to take a lot of getting used to going back to normal. So I think even though the restrictions are lifted, I think it's going to take people a lot longer to get used to a busy lifestyle.
So you've heard what the young people said there. What have each of you observed in young people in terms of their experience of COVID, both negative and positive experiences?
I think what we have observed in the big house, you know, and in particularly thinking that no two experiences this last year have been the same, but our counselling service, the listening space, we have really noticed, and just really the same thing that the young people, those incredible young people, have already mentioned, is that we have observed that young people have had a real experience of loss, a loss of those significant transitions, missing out on key events, such as those end of term, maybe those muck-up days that you would have had in school, missing out on exams, sports days, school formals, driving tests, dating, getting a part-time job, all those normal, everyday teenage rituals. That has been a grief that they have been experiencing. And alongside that, significant transitions, they've also experienced such a loss of significant relationships. Having your best friends, your classmates, your teachers, your youth workers, your extended family, all of a sudden you're not able to see them. And that has been another loss in their lives. So alongside that loss, we've also really witnessed the emotional changes and that real feeling of up and down. I know some of your young people have already mentioned that, the up and down, those feelings of hopelessness, loneliness, anxiety around the virus, anxiety about vulnerable family members, those low moods, as well as other emotions increase, stress, grief, anger, feeling trapped, and that disconnection. And we've seen that as a result of these emotions, as a result of this loss, we've sadly seen a real increase in risk-taking behaviours in our young people, such as self-harm, disordered eating, and suicidal thinking.
Just on reflection of what some of the young people have said, I do feel our young people in Hillsborough have responded generally very well, because we are very lucky in the people that we have. They're very engaged and they're really dedicated to coming along, but they're also really tired. They're completely zoomed out once they've had online school and little to no social interaction apart from being online. You know, they're tired when it comes to Sunday night when we're going on to our youth fellowship programmes. And then, like all the big events that they would normally go to, like MAD and Summer Madness and our own youth weekend, that they really just live for, they've all been cancelled. So you can see the disappointment. And then the uncertainty around their schooling has definitely taken its toll. And a lot of the schools were told that exams were cancelled. And then the young people now have found that they're just coming down with assessments that the exam boards are needing to allow the teachers to predict their grades. Last year, we had some young people who were in upper sixth and had done really well and had uni places waiting for them. And then their predicted grades didn't come back as they had hoped. And then the grades were changed after about a week. But by the time that happened, their first choice places had already been given out to other people. So it was really stressful for those young people and really a devastating time. But in saying that, you know, there's been quite positive things have happened for us throughout the last year. And we've taken time, you know, to work on some initiatives and things that we probably wouldn't have looked at before. And just one example of that was when we launched a project in January, where we decided to write to older or housebound people, or people who were ill or recently bereaved. And, you know, for me, it was overwhelming because our young people took the time to handcraft some really beautiful cards and write really heartfelt messages that were delivered to the old people. And, you know, even the connections that were made have even gone beyond just the initial letter. So to me, that's been really encouraging and really quite inspiring.
That's fantastic. And I think it's good that people both understand what young people have been through, but know that there's a balance to that, and there's some positive aspects for some. Ashley, what have you seen in your experience?
Yeah, I think as Catherine and Lindsay have both said, and as the young people said earlier as well, there has been an awful lot of loss. And, you know, in school and church and sport, their social lives, that's all changed. And even their digital lives has been lost to an extent, which is strange because we're all on Zoom all the time. But for many young people, their digital world was their release. It was their safe place before COVID, whereas now their whole lives are online. So whenever it comes to relaxing or winding down, online just isn't an option really, because they're so tired of it. And as Lindsay was saying, you know, whenever it comes to youth group and things, we've seen a drop in engagement whenever we go online, because they're just so tired from their whole life being online now, looking at a screen. But yeah, having said that, just like Lindsay and Catherine said, there have been some positives as well. For other young people, digital has been a good opportunity, maybe for some who are maybe less socially comfortable. They were able then to develop that in safety in many ways. As well, we've seen our young people have still had a real passion for and hunger to serve the community and to serve others. We just took part in a project called Love Lisburn at Easter time, which we do every Easter. It's an outreach project. And this year we decided to do it, but do it differently, obviously, because we couldn't all be together as we usually would. But actually it worked out bigger than normal. We had more young people involved than normal because they were just so excited to do something together and to go and serve their communities. One thing that I haven't heard in our church is blaming God or negative feelings towards God for this, which is great that the young people haven't pinned that on. I know there has been some questioning of where is God in this time in the wider society, but our young people haven't been. And in fact, they've just been plugging in more and more to the Bible, and which has been really encouraging to see actually at this time.
That's really interesting, and it's good to see that sort of spiritual perspective. Just listening to each of you, I'm reminded that, you know, we should never try to make out that young people are a big homogenous block that are all the same. And it strikes me that they're all experiencing this quite differently. I wonder how that you think that reflects on what they need right now. That what would you think about just how we see them as individuals at this time?
I think one of the most important things that they need is good engagement with people like their youth leaders and people that can help them along. So just an example of something that happened with us, we did find that our numbers were dropping off significantly on Zoom. As Ashley said before, they were just really tired. And the enthusiasm wasn't just the same as it was last March. And we asked them what it was that they would like to see. And something came up that we hadn't really thought about ourselves. And that was the idea of small groups. And to be honest, if we hadn't listened to what the young people had said, we probably would never have started those up. One thing that they really need is for their leaders and other church leaders, not necessarily youth leaders, is to listen to what exactly they want and what's going to work for them, because that will definitely increase their engagement. But I really feel like mental health is already and is going to be a problem ongoing. And I think that they need support from people who can give them support. And I think that it's important that their youth leaders are equipped to be able to help them through this time.
Yes, absolutely agree. You know, we know that each of our young people are precious and deeply loved by God. No matter what this last year has been like for them, no matter what they're experiencing in their day-to-day life right now. So that is a big, big need for them to know themselves, that they are valued, loved, that they have worth and value, that they are not alone and that they have been heard. Exactly what Lindsay is saying, that they have been listened to no matter what is going on right now. And for us, as we think about how do we emerge, how do we meet the needs of our young people? I think it is just what Lindsay was saying, that we need to meet them exactly where they are at, where they are all at right now. We need to see them in this experience that they're having, and we need to try and understand a little bit about what are their feelings and their thinking. And we need to do that without any kind of agenda other than caring about them. And I think that's really tricky, meeting young people right now in this place, because it means that we have to develop the attitude of asking really difficult questions, you know, questions that sometimes and often we all want to scare away from because we don't want to hear the answers. Maybe we're fearful of what a young person's response might be, or that we are scared that we aren't equipped to handle it, or that we could make their situation worse. But we need to meet them where they're at. We need to get into that habit of asking difficult questions, not just with the young people that, you know, want to talk to us, but we need to be looking out for those young people who are maybe a little bit quieter, who maybe are a little bit more avoidant. And we need to go up to them and just meet them where they are at. But I think it is really important to note that, just as we've said, that all of our experiences have been different. You know, there's no two experiences the same, that it is going to take time for our young people to readjust when they come back into our youth groups. They're all going to have different reactions to coming back. So I'm really excited. Some a wee bit apprehensive, just like us, their leaders. So it's okay that there's going to be time around this. It's not going to be bouncing back to normal when we get back to our youth groups.
I'm just thinking there that you're really saying that we need to be quite pastoral in this. I wonder, Ashley, in your role, are you already or are you anticipating being a pastor above some of the other aspects of your role for the next while?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with everything that has just been said there. I think one of the things that they really needed this time is just understanding and acknowledgement that this has been really tough for them. You know, we often think of young people as being really resilient and nothing fazes them, which at times can be true, but actually this has been a really tough year and they won't be ready just to jump straight back into everything straight away. And so we shouldn't be rushing that. We shouldn't be rushing them back to a busy program. I think sometimes a busy youth ministry can be like a badge of honor for our church sometimes, but right now, you know, less is more. Trevor Gribben, the clerk of PCI, about a month ago on the pod, said that we need to reconnect, but we also need to reassess as well. Equally, not spending so much time reassessing that we delay that reconnection. You need to find the right balance there. We're not going to just jump back into how things were a year and a half ago, and we shouldn't. Let's think about what went on and what was important, and maybe what was less so as well. And so what would be most helpful for our children and young people? And also for our volunteers as well. Our volunteers are tired as well. And they've been living through this too and struggling through this. And so I think it would be wise to maybe pool resources, combine programs, run one thing really well to start off with. And then when that's established, maybe think about adding to it after that. But yeah, as we said earlier, I think one of the other things young people really need is relationship. And one of the young people there even said it, not just intense Bible study, although there is a place for Bible study, obviously, but spiritual support isn't just about reading the Bible constantly. It is important, yeah, but it's equally as important to take this time to reestablish that relationship with them and to also help facilitate them in building relationships with each other. Obviously for me, that relationship was new to begin with as COVID kicked off, because I just started at the church. But even for others who have had strong relationships with their young people before, those young people will be very different now. They'll be very different people than they were a year ago or just over a year ago. So that relationship will need work to reestablish. And we need to give them time and physical space for that, and space as well just to be teenagers, just to enjoy themselves, just to have fun, and get to be young people, because they've missed that so much over this past year.
Thanks for that. There's a huge lot of wisdom in there for us all as we try to think, how do we begin to take little steps into this? And I think our perspective, you're saying, is really important. I'm wondering what sort of things we have to help us with that in terms of resources. What sort of ideas would you have in terms of what we have in our armory for that?
So recently, PCI have been very kind and supplied us with two great resources, one for sort of primary school age and one for teenagers. Primary one was Jesus and Emotions by Engage Worship, and the secondary age one was Shaken by The Big House, which Catherine, I'm sure, is going to speak about in a minute or two. We've given both of these resources to all of our families across the congregation, and as well as distributing them, we were using them as teaching materials as well. Jesus and Emotions we're using at the minute for our children's address series, which explores a wide range of emotions that children might feel, and pointing them to Jesus for comfort in that, because he felt them too. And then we're using Shaken in both our youth fellowship program and Girls Brigade. And by the time this podcast drops, we'll have done three of the four sessions with our youth fellowship and one with GB. And it's, to me, Shaken is a great resource. It's so timely. It wasn't written with COVID in mind, and there was the opportunity to use it before COVID. But for us, I just felt God was nudging us to wait, and actually this now is a great time we could be using it. These resources will hugely benefit our children and young people, but I think it's important to recognize as well that our support needs to be more than just booklets, more than just resources. The biggest resource is our people, as we journey alongside our young people out of this lockdown and beyond.
I think none of us have ever came out of a pandemic before, and this is all new to us all when we think about how do we care well for our young people. And I think we can really overcomplicate things, you know, but if we strip it right back and look to the example of, well, what is our part to play? And we look to the example of Jesus, we see that in the Bible, we're called to be accurate representations of Christ. So when we look at the life of Jesus and we see what he did and how he stopped and listened, even when he was busy, how he saw and understood people's difficulties, how he treated everyone with kindness and respect, that he forgave people, that he included those on the margins, that he offered people rest and no pressure, and he changed situations that looked impossible. So we think of quite simply, you know, how can we be accurate representations of Jesus with our young people? And we think in the Big House that one of the most important things that we can do to spiritually care for our young people is just to follow Jesus's example when he took time away from the busyness, from the crowd. The first thing that he did was take time away and spend it with his heavenly Father. And it's really important for us as we think about getting back with our young people, as we think about each of the needs of our young people, that we just press pause, even if it's just for 5 minutes, and we asked God to give us his pastoral sensitivity for each of our young people, to read some passages in the Bible that refer to certain difficulties, and we see how Jesus responded. We see that he cared for and treated all people equally. So let's not underestimate that we can take that time out for Heavenly Father, that we can bring our young people before God in prayer. And sometimes we just leave that to the end, leave that to the back burner. But it's also really important that we have that at the forefront. And that's part of looking after ourselves as well. And when we've had that little bit of spiritual reflection, then we'll be able to move forward and think about what is our practical response? How can we physically, practically, pastorally look after our young people?
There's real wisdom in that, Catherine. Thank you. And, you know, many of us are busy. Lindsay, I'm just thinking about the roles that you have, work, you've got your role with GB and as a leader in your congregation. How do you think you're going to approach this in terms of being able to give your best to young people and being able to just choose the right things for them as you journey forward with them?
I think an aspect of youth ministry that is really important is actually to be able to share ideas. And by that, I mean share ideas with other local youth groups and make connections with different youth workers and youth leaders in other congregations, and also with organisations and youth ministries outside of PCI, because there is a lot out there that can be shared. And ultimately, we're all working towards one goal, to advance Christ's kingdom. And so for that reason, I do believe that we should share as much as we can, especially if something's worked well for you. It's really worthwhile giving that to other people and letting them know about it, and equally asking them for their advice and things that have worked well for them. I know that we've benefited from chatting to other people, and it has been great. With regards to the GB and Girls Brigade, I know that there are lots of companies who are a little bit anxious about how things are going to be when they return. But I think it's very important that we all kind of stick together and encourage each other. And another thing that we have found very helpful is that we've actually participated in some of the things that PCI have offered us over the last year. So we've participated in some of the digital conversations and also the webinars that have been run. And then really by resources that we've used, we've actually been able to adapt the PCI proximity materials. And these came recommended to us from a young adults group who had used them last year. They provided a really good starting point for discussions, and our young people have really opened up then through these conversations that we've been able to have.
Thanks, Lindsay. I promise we didn't pay Lindsay to say any of those things, but it's great to know that you find those things helpful. Thank you. Any other thoughts or things you want to share just in terms of practically how leaders can respond to support young people in these days?
I think just as we think about taking that example of Jesus again, you know, we see that Jesus met people in ordinary places. He was available. And when we're caring for our young people, what does it mean to be available for them? What does that look like for each of us in our different contexts? Is it simply just chatting with them? Is it playing, kicking a ball around, and through that you're getting that conversation loosely flowing? Maybe having that conversation with that young person is the first time that they've had that opportunity to talk about difficult things to another adult. Maybe it's the first time that that young person knows what it is to feel heard, to feel listened to feel accepted and safe. So alongside being available, taking that time to ask difficult questions, taking that time just to have a chat, it's also really important to think about, well, who do you give your attention to? Is it just the really boisterous ones? Is it the ones that really want to be there? But who are the ones on the peripheral that we need to be looking out for, that we need to be tuning in and going over and getting to know them better, modelling kindness and purpose in their lives? And also the importance of checking in. Remember what a young person has told you in the previous week, that you go back and you ask them, how was that test? You know, how did you get on with that teacher? You know, just checking in, making sure that you have heard and listened to what they've really been saying. And I think it's really important just to note that, you know, as we model Jesus, you know, we're perhaps showing young people there's new possibilities for them. There's new hope that can spring forth from their situation. Another practical things that we can do is that we can just know other organisations that are available to help. I know Ashley mentioned the Big House, he's mentioned Shaken. There's a ton of resources that you can use with your young people, especially in these difficult times. Our Shaken resource, it is packed full of 20 healthy coping mechanisms which young people can use and explore which coping mechanism works best for them. And also in the Big House, we have a counselling service for young people called the Listening Space. And it's for all 11 to 18 year olds. And it gives young people a safe place to talk about anything that's worrying or concerning them with a qualified counsellor. So there's so many organisations out there. There's so many things that we can sign up to learn more about mental health, to learn more about how we can pastorally care well.
Catherine, thank you for that. And to each of you, I think you've been really down to earth, because it can be really intimidating. And when we listen to what the young people have had to say about how hard it is, that might actually make folks feel less empowered. But I think some of the stuff you've shared has really hopefully been encouraging. Just as we close, I wonder, would each of you like to just in a line, have a final message to leaders, and maybe other adults, even parents out there who are thinking, right, how can I journey with young people out of this pandemic? Ashley, do you want to start?
Yep. I think we need to understand that this won't be a quick fix, like getting our haircut when the barber's reopened. Just because we're open again and getting back to face-to-face doesn't mean we should just jump into everything. It'll take time for young people and their families and churches to bounce back. And we need to allow the time and space and not rush them into it.
I would just say to youth leaders and other adults as they're coming out of the pandemic, not to worry about things and how things are going to be, because God will guide us through this. And he does remind us in a verse, Isaiah 41, verse 13, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." I would say just give young people their place and listen to what they want and help make it happen. For me, through the last year, they've really shown how resilient they are. And I'll always advocate for young people, because although they don't have years and years of experience behind them, they're full of passion and enthusiasm. And now more than ever, I believe that's really just what the church needs.
And I think similarly to just what you've been saying, Lindsay, that, you know, acknowledging that there's so many emotions and feelings in this room, and to your listeners right now, this doubt, anxiety, fear, and even for many of us, we may be questioning our ability and questioning our calling to pastor well to young people. So can I just emphasize that to everyone listening, that you're not alone, but can I just really encourage you that you have a part to play. You know, God has placed you in your community, in your church, in your street. You have a vital part to play in caring well for your young people. And just really quickly, it says in Psalm 145, "Let each generation tell its children of your mighty works." It is not just the youth worker, it's not just the minister. You have a vital part to play. And thankfully, we're not alone in doing that. We have God helping us, but we also have our colleagues, our friends, you know, gathering around us and praying for us as we do this, and praying for our young people as well.
Thank you, Catherine, for that positive way to finish. And to you, Ashley and Lindsay, for what you've shared about your own stories, your own encounters with young people, that I think will be very encouraging and offer hope to those listening. I wanted to finish as we started, with the voice of young people, because as I spoke to each of them, they gave a perspective on the future that I think will give us all hope. So let's listen as we finish to the voices of Evan and Holly and Rachel.
I feel optimistic, but at the same time, I think I'm sort of moving forward with an air of caution. You know, I think life's very uncertain at the minute, and I think I've learned a lot over the last year just to take each day as it comes.
I think it's just important in this time to remember that while we are divided, we're all together. If you ever are feeling alone, remember God is there. People in your community and your faith and your church are there, and be there for other people.
Don't underestimate young people. Like, we're not the future of the church, we're the now of the church. And if you don't, like, I'm lucky in my church that there is really good leaders, and we have insane leaders and like good youth and good groups. But we're so passionate about the Bible and about Jesus, and we want to share that with everybody. So I guess, like, help us to do that. But yeah, we're optimistic for the future. And I can't wait to see what my generation do. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.